this is Father's Day. I understood something this morning. The last chapter of Peter. I have had an ongoing number of dreams of the glorious thing God was going to do. You know, my question is this morning, where is the promise of his coming? When is he going to do what he's going to do? For since the fathers fell asleep, all these things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this men are willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth since are now by the which are now by the same word kept in store. Are you following what I'm reading or not? Everything is kept in store right now by the same word they created it. That's what it says. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that with one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, at the end of that chapter is something that caught my attention this last week, and I don't know if I heard it or if I read it, I'm not sure. But, the whole chapter speaks of the same things of what I'm talking about. But down in verse 15, it says, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul." Now listen carefully. "As our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you." Okay, so far so good. "As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood." Some of the things that Paul writes about are hard to be understood. "Which they that are unlearned and unstable." Now, what does it say in your translation? Do you have a different translation than the King James? What does it say for unlearned and unstable? What are the words? It's in 2 Peter 3:16. 2 Peter 3:16. It says, "Which they that are unlearned," I would say ignorant maybe, "and unstable," and I know a lot of people like that. Right now I would fit the category. Unstable. "Wrestle." What words are used in your translation? That are unlearned and unstable. What words are used?
Verse 16. "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twisted."
Oh, untaught. Untaught, it says. Okay, well, same thing. Unlearned or untaught, sorry. Do we have any other words that are used?
That's New King James. So
the New King James would be pretty close. This is in 2 Peter 3:16. Anyway, the sentence right after that caught my attention. It says, "Some things which are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable." Well, you know, unstable, we know what that means. You don't know what they're going to do next. Kind of like when you see me walk. They that are unlearned and unstable. What other words?
NIV says ignorant.
Ignorant and what?
And unstable.
Okay, ignorant and unstable. Okay, that would be what I would think was ignorant. Yeah.
My New Century Version says ignorant and weak in faith.
Okay. Unstable, weak in faith. I wasn't sure what it said. I didn't look it up in my combination book there, but anyway.
2 Peter 3:16.
What's it say?
Okay. Speak about these things as he does in all of his letters, in which there are some things that are difficult to understand, which the untaught and unstable who have fallen into error.
Okay, the untaught
and the unstable.
Okay, okay. But listen to what it says in the next sentence. As they do also in the other scriptures. Did you see that? It's not just the things that are hard to understand that Paul wrote, but if they're untaught or if they're ignorant and unstable. Been there, done that. You know, it says they twist and wrestle the scriptures unto their own destruction. And so that is the key. It's like we got to be careful what we do with the Word of God. No, let me say it again. We have to be careful what we do with the Word of God.
They do too. But
we do too. And we got to be careful. Because the end of the thing is destruction. By twisting it. And so what do we want? And I got a Father's Day card from Shelley. And anyway, Father's Day comes too close to my birthday, you know what I mean? It's only a month away. And so I wasn't sure what she meant, but in here, you know, here's a daughter that anybody wants. You all want one like her. And in here she says, I thank you. I am so something or other, I can't remember how she worded it, that you are zealous for the truth, that you want the truth. It doesn't mean that I know it, but I want it. And it's like, you know what my prayer is? And it is. So it really is. I stand before God and I ask him, I say, Lord, if there's any possible way, I want the truth no matter what it costs. And all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So what's going to happen? I don't know.
Keith, a couple other translations use the word unstable. Untaught and unstable.
Okay.
And I saw one other one in Korean that said something of, I apologize, not the Korean, the
well, anyway, if you believe in the resurrection, Charlotte just came in.
Yay!
We've been praying for you. I almost made it down to see her. Okay, so now, you therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I've come to a major area of revelation. And the revelation is not a big one. You all have it. It just takes the time to really get it. In the beginning, God. In the beginning of anything, God. And so, does that change the that's not structure, that's not the right word. Does that change the image, or we can't even call it God. We can't say image because it doesn't fit. But can we change who God is by anything we do. God is unchangeable. And so I started to see the greatness. And you know what? This thing is growing and growing inside of me until God is becoming an awesome creator beyond anything. You know, it says his ways are past finding out. His ways are past describing or defining. He doesn't want an image built. You know why? It wouldn't. There's not anything you could make that would do him justice. And this is the thing. And it's like, how do I describe God? I don't. What is it happening inside me? Not a clue. But the thing about it is, God is becoming an awesome, awesome, awesome creator who has to humble himself to behold heaven and earth. And the Bible says, what is man that he is mindful of him? What is man? What am I? This frail creature that needs somebody else to help him walk.
I don't know if this is going to be worth anything to you, but it did something. Just helped me a little bit. I got it before I realized that today would be Father's Day. But I was listening to the setting, you know, and it was talking when Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath. And they accused him of being equal with his father. And, you know, I always took that as they're trying to make him deity. But it's not really, see, now I'm going on the preface that I've heard that in their times, when you had a son, and he grew, and say you had a business, and he learned the business, and eventually the father would go, son, I believe you're ready to be equal. And he would get a ring so that he could go buy, sell, do whatever. And everyone knew then that they had to honor whatever that son, you know, whatever he wanted or did, because he was equal with his father now. Now, I don't know if that's entirely true or not. I've heard that. And so I was thinking, well, then, see, that's because for a long time, they're thinking he's Joseph, you know, as his father. But then he starts teaching and speaking with such authority, and then he starts referring to his father that then they're complexed, you know, because wait a minute, how can he know this and how can he be so sure of himself? And you know what? In the days to come, you may sound that way. Because your father has been teaching you through his Holy Spirit. And they might, well, who do you think you are, God? You know, I mean, you know how that term has been used? Well, no, you won't think you are, but you'll know who your father is. And if he's giving you authority, you know, so he says, but.
Would you repeat that statement a couple of times? He is teaching us by his Holy Spirit so that it's on the thing. That what an excellent, excellent understanding.
Yeah, that first of all, you come to believe that God is your Father. And that he is teaching you through his Holy Spirit.
And it's excellent.
And that we've been saying that, of course, a lot. But it's true.
Pretty clear.
Yeah. And it's when I realized that made me free.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went, it's not up to me. I don't have to labor in the scriptures. I don't have to attend Bible studies. I just need to be taught by the Holy Spirit. And the way the Lord revealed that in His Word was to listen. Yeah. And, you know, and read. Because it's always good. I like to hear things, and then I'll go back and read where I figure I heard. A lot of times I don't know where I heard it. It took me a long time to figure out where this was, because from when I heard it. But, and see, that part, and it fits really well with that, what Keith brought in the end of Peter there, in chapter 3:16, 2 Peter. Because if you're being taught, you're being learned by the one who has all truth, and all those scriptures then, you don't have to start twisting to try to find an answer to make it fit your doctrine. You know, and it's true, there is doctrines in here, but they're God's doctrines. You know, they're not the musings of men's minds, you know, which we are so prone to do. So you know, it's like, it just seemed like in this setting, it says, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. What? I've been working with my Father. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath. Of course, you know, Kirky, this is in John 5:17, 18, 19. He not only broke the Sabbath, but he pointed out, well, you'll circumcise on the Sabbath and think it's okay, and yet when I heal somebody, you know, and when he's saying, my Father's been working, and I've been, see, there's a whole technology to the word working that he's bringing, you know. Because all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what day it is. Because every day is alike. You know? Therefore, on the Sabbath. But also said that God was his Father. Because he said, God, you know, God is my Father. I do what my Father. And they figured out, well, it isn't Joseph, because he's not doing this. You know? So, God, he is saying that God is his Father. Well, he knew he was. I mean, he knew he had a mother, but he also knew who his Father was. And he was born from above. It may, you know, a lot of that, if you stop and think on that term, that for Jesus being born from above was ultimately perfectly born from above. Because it was his Father who overshadowed. And but it says, see, this is the part that I keep trying to grasp a little bit. So when it says you must be born again, it has a lot more to it than I think we have. I haven't understood it all yet. To be born from above, I mean, you are new and you're born by this Spirit, which can't be seen, but is all powerful. And it says by water and spirit. So it means you show by a process, you know, that you want to die and be born again by baptism, you know. And so it said that God with his Father making himself equal with God. And then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Well, you know what? Pretty soon, some of you might start seeing what the Father is doing. And you'll be doing it. Maybe I'll be doing it. You know? I pray. I hope. You know? So, you know, we will never be, probably, I'm quite sure, to the degree that Jesus was. But in a sense, there's going to be a little of this equality if you're actually doing his will. And he's telling you. And when he sends you, You're being sent with his authority. You know? So it's not you, it's him. And so it's funny because they, and maybe it was different ones, but I'm sure a lot of the same Pharisees were following him around. And it's like one time they would see a little bit and then they wouldn't see anything, you know, about who he really was. And there's all kinds of little clues, but they kept missing him, you know. And even the disciples at times did, and so do we, because he hasn't revealed it. I mean, he may speak to us today, but it might be 6 months from now when we actually realize what he spoke. You know, just like when they, you know, the men on the road, and all of a sudden it says, and their hearts were open to the, you know, to what he had said. I mean, that's a, when you stop and think about that, that's kind of perplexing, isn't it? Yes. To think that you can hear something and not hear it. And not get the truth. And then all of a sudden, you got it. That shows all the more that you need to be in the rest. Which means you're resting from your own labors. I like that. I don't always adhere to it. But I like it. I mean, I don't have to work, in a sense. But you know what? There's a great responsibility also. And because I'm not perfect yet, that's a little conflict going on. Because I'm thinking he's giving me truths, and yet I'm being such a jerk for him, you know? And I want to try to go to Paul in, you know, his chapters 6, 7, and 8, where it's, I don't do the things, but then sometimes I have a hard time letting that justify my behavior. You know? I wanted to, because I want to think my spirit wants something, and it does, I know it does. Or I wouldn't have the conflict, I guess. You know, that's the thing. But how long can I stay in this conflict, you know? That's the part that kind of starts edging in on and start giving a little bit of a guilt thing, you know. And how many times can I rely on his mercy and grace, you know, which we've discussed many. But so anyway, I just think that for me, this, and I don't know, see, it's all based on the fact that if that was how their society was set up, that a son eventually became equal with the father in dealings. But I'm almost positive I read that somewhere in the Word, probably in the Old Testament somewhere. It kind of took away it kind of gave me an insight that, yeah, that's not saying he's deity. He's just acting with the authority his father has given him, which made him the same authority the father had, the son had. Didn't mean he was God. I mean, he had his authority equal, you know, to act. And that puts a whole different perspective on it. Because it also then says that we could fit into that. James caught that right away before he said it. So, God bless.
No, Ken, that was so good. That was so good. Remember the old line about Jesus being fully man and fully God? Remember, someone who was in this body that isn't here now, but he was real sure that was in the Bible. And he did a hunt, and doggone, he couldn't find it. It was in there, you know. But that was a big surprise to him. And I've got a couple things to say about that. One is that if you truly are fully man, then all you are is man. Mm-hmm. If you are fully man, that involves the limitations that are accompanied. That's what it means to be fully man. So It'd be, of course, all things are possible in God. But just the same, just the same. No. If you are fully man, then you're not fully God. You're not fully God. What you are is fully man. But, you know, you can be not fully man, but you can be, you can be not fully God, but you can be full of God. You know, full of God. You're not God, but you're full of God. And those things are so close. They're really so close. To be full of God, you know, so in a way, what's the big difference? Fully God, full of God. In a way, what's the big difference? On the other hand, hey, there's a big difference there. There's a big difference, you know? Big difference between those two things. And I, too, aspire to be full of God in that kind of way. Full of God. Ken referred to, we wouldn't do what Jesus did. But, and I know where you're coming from, Ken, but remember Jesus talked about greater works. Greater works than what he did. And we must not snip that out of the Bible. Talks about greater work. Jesus talked about our doing greater works. And I'm betting what he means by that is that we're going to be doing greater works. Yeah. Anyway, that is one boat I do not want to miss. Ooh, I do not want to miss that boat. I just don't. And, like Ken, you go through Romans 6, 7, 8 there, and, especially Romans 7. You don't want to take that one too far. And yet the very thing that's being described there in Romans 7 is that dilemma of taking that too far. And, I think the very essence of God's grace is the sense that, thank God for God's grace, but I think I'm pushing it too far. I'm pushing it too far. And that, too, is God's grace. You know, God's grace is operating in that sense. I'm pushing it too far. Now, surely there is such a thing as pushing it too far, but that struggle, the thrashing back and forth about, Lord, a lot of the thing that's wrong with me is indifference to you. How can your grace cover that? And yet, His grace covers all things, you know. I'd like Ken, I do want to. There is a thing in me that wants to, even though there's most definitely a thing on the surface that doesn't seem to want to at all. You know? Anyway, it's all tough, but it is also very good. It's all very good.
I'm not going to do anything except for read 2 Peter chapter 3 in my New Century Version, purely because that's the one I was holding. He says, "My friends, this is the second letter I have written you to help your honest minds remember." That's what we have to do, help our honest minds remember. I think I'm reading this for me and Ken. I want you to think about the words the holy prophets spoke in the past and remember the command our Lord and Savior gave us through your apostles. It is important for you to understand what will happen in the last days. People will laugh at you. They will live doing the evil things they want to do. They will say, Jesus promised to come again. Where is he? Our fathers have died, but the world continues the way it has been since it was made. But they do not remember, they do not want to remember what happened long ago. By the word of God, heaven was made, and the earth was made from water and with water. Then the world was flooded and destroyed with water. At that same word of God, and that same word of God is keeping heaven and earth that we now have in order to be destroyed by fire. They are being kept for the judgment day and the destruction of all who are against God. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. To the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slow in doing what he promised, the way some people understand slowness, but God is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and lives. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The skies will disappear with a loud noise. Everything in them will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be exposed. In that way, everything will be destroyed. So what kind of people should you be? You should live holy lives and serve God as you wait for and look forward to the coming of the day of God. When that day comes, the skies will be destroyed with fire, and everything in them will melt with heat. But God made a promise to us, and we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth where goodness lives. Dear friends, since you are waiting for this to happen, do your best to be without sin. Okay, Ken, we're just going to do our best to be without sin, all right? We're going to do our best. And without fault. Try to be at peace with God. Remember that we are saved because our Lord is patient. Our dear brother Paul told you the same thing when he wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes about this in all his letters. Some things in Paul's letters are hard to understand, and people who are ignorant and weak in faith explain these things falsely. They also falsely explain other scriptures, but they are destroying themselves by doing this. Dear friends, since you already know about this, be careful. Do not let those evil people lead you away by the wrong they do. Be careful so you will not fall from your strong faith, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to him now and forever. Amen.
I'm not injured, I just got a cramp in my left leg. Regarding the issue of dealing with yourself as a natural person, I'm thinking of, you know, Charlie brought the side of are you pushing it too far and with the grace and whatnot. Well, you know, from God's perspective, from the opposite side, you know, he really pushes it too far. I mean, he did that with Paul. He was afflicted by a messenger from Satan, a demon, and he knew it was a demon, and he sought deliverance from it, and God said no, and that's because he loved him so much, he didn't want him to get carried away with pride. He loved him that much, he said, I'm going to let him have the demon, I know you're suffering, I know it's hard, but hey, I would rather have you be humble, you know, than to have this championship testimony, you know, how you overcame and you were strong and so forth, you know. And we're constantly in need of his grace. That's why the blood is always flowing on us. You know, there's another parable that Jesus said about the tares in the field. And
the workers came in and they told him about the tares, you know, and he said, well, an enemy's done this. And they go, well, should we pull the tares out, you know? And it's horrible gardening advice, but the owner said, no, don't pull them out. Let them grow together. And in the time of the harvest, you know, you guys can go out and separate them. But my point being that he's putting it off, you know. He's not just getting them out of there right away. I mean, I would. I hope you do it with your garden, you know. Don't let weeds grow. I mean, they kill the plants and, you know, decimate the harvest and whatnot. But, you know, regarding your idea, when I came in, you were testifying about what am I, you know. This week, I think I told you, I was listening, and I heard this. I remember the story of Jesus when he was 12. They went to Jerusalem for the feast or whatever, and then he stayed behind. You know, he ditched his parents, you know. They got a whole day out of town. I mean, he didn't even say anything to them. But he was busy. You know, he had to be about his father's business, not Joseph, but his father's heavenly father. And he was in the temple, and they found him like 3 days later. That's a long time to stay in the temple. But he was there, and he was, the scripture says that he was both hearing the doctors of the law and asking them questions. And it just came to me all of a sudden. I thought, wow, you know, he was using them to find out about himself, because that's what the scriptures speak of. He knew that this, the word was, that was him in written form. And he was learning about what he was supposed to be, how he was supposed to be, you know, his message, his, you know, what he was. He was just learning about himself. And he spoke to me and he's like, you know, you're going through that same process. You know, you don't really know what you are yet. And if you keep your ear, you know, full of that word, you'll find out. And you are finding out. I'm finding out. I'm finding out all kinds of stuff about myself, you know, and about humanity in general. You know, it's not like a psychology class, but there's reasons why people are the way they are, and, you know, they're weak and they're flighty and they're really in need of the Lord, you know. But so am I. And I feel like I'm sitting in the temple now, you know, both hearing the doctors and asking them questions. It was, I just was struck by how different his perspective was on the word, you know, than theirs was. To them, it was just a bunch of manuscripts that were really old that they copied, and, you know, it was, they had to be real careful with it, and it had teachings and doctrines and so forth and so on. And from Jesus' perspective, it was him in written form. It was talking about him. You know, it was all about him. And he was, you know, I imagine that he was saying stuff like, you know, he would mention scriptures to them, and then he'd say, well, what do you think that means? You know, and they'd explain their understanding. And by doing that, he was getting a feel or a sense of where they were at, you know, and how natural people really, really are, you know. And that's the thing. I mean, when you're listening to this word, you gotta understand it's a spiritual thing, you know. And that's why I have it on all the time when I'm at home, but I don't always pay attention to it. I fall asleep to it every night, you know. But it's not meant for my natural mind, and I think that's the reason why I'm changing, you know. This last week I had a kind of weird experience a couple weeks ago at work. And there was this girl, you know, that I was had to work with all night. And she was telling me she had a fear of public speaking, you know. So I kind of launched into this testimony. You know, it kind of sounded like a testimony. But, you know, I felt kind of passionately about it. And I said, hey, you know, you don't forget about what people think, you know. If you really believe in what you're saying and you have, it's called having faith, you know, it doesn't matter what people think. You know, and I mean, I was coming from the spiritual perspective of Jesus, you know, and he'd say whatever his father told him to say, regardless of what people thought. But, you know, and I don't know, I didn't really feel an anointing or anything, but she turned to me and her eyes were all big and she goes, I wish I had a tape recorder so that I could record what you just said, you know, so I could play it back, you know, for my next job interview. She goes, you ought to be a motivational speaker, you know, and that really freaked me out. I mean, she was nice about it. She meant it as a compliment, but I took it really, really wrong, you know. I mean, it sounded like It sounded like worship. And that's not how I want to affect people. But later on, I was talking to Keith about it, and he said, you know, he pointed out, and I didn't see this until he did point it out, that it's an effect of the Word of God that it's having on me. You know, the godly wisdom just kind of comes out, you know, without you realizing it. And I thought, wow, I'm kind of learning about myself here, you know. But, yeah, you know, I agree with Ken totally. I mean, I think that we're gonna manifest greatness, you know, and we're going to do that in the confidence of this is my Father's word, this is what he's doing, and so that's what I'm going to do. And if he says this, then that's what I'm going to say, you know. I was telling Keith also this last week, I used to worry about that. You know, I listened to the parts where Jesus is talking about they're going to bring you up before kings and magistrates and, you know, in the synagogues and beat you. And, you know, and he said, don't settle it in your hearts not to think about what you're going to say beforehand, you know, because the Holy Spirit's going to fill your mouth. And I used to kind of worry about that. You know, I took it naturally. But now I'm totally different about it. I don't care. I'm not worried about it at all. Because I said, I know exactly what I'm going to say, whatever he puts in my mouth, you know, and I can have that confidence. It doesn't matter. I don't have to come up with a great big speech or a theological, you know, doctrine or whatever. I don't have to think about this. It is easy. You know, I feel like I got the easiest job in the whole universe. All I got to do is listen, pay attention, and obey. And I mean, really, that's kind of all I'm capable of doing, you know. But I like it, you know. I like being there. I like being totally dependent on God's word, you know, and having to do it. I mean, having it have it pumped through me all the time, you know. I used to say that I listen to the word of God because I want to live, but now I'm thinking, hey, I'm listening to the word of God because I want to keep living, you know. I want to keep growing, and I hope everybody else does too.
So happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. You know, and these two thoughts are interrelated. So, you know, we've often wondered why Joseph is such a no-show in the Bible. I mean, he has a fairly significant part in our salvation in the sense that, you know, he has to listen to God's word, listen to God's leading by the angel coming and squirreling Mary away for a while. And then you hear basically nothing about him except, and that I recall, two references, and they're kind of tied together. And, you know, Joseph kind of comes back when he misplaces his son, and he comes back to the temple, and he says, you know, why would you do this to us? And he calls, Jesus turns and says, well, you know, I'd have to do my father's work. Which is kind of his way of telling him, okay, we've gotten to this age and you've been my father on earth, but you know you're not my father. And he's saying this to him kind of in the temple. So I'm thinking, why did the Pharisees pick up on the fact that Jesus just said, Joseph was not my father? There should never have been a doubt. Yet, later on, the scriptures go on and say that as Jesus is bringing it, not to be overly using today's terminology, but he is, God's word is being shared through him, and they all marvel and they go, isn't this the son of a carpenter? Seems like a perfect time for Jesus to step up and go, no, he's not really my dad. And then there's this whole void through the rest of the work. He never really clarifies it. He just lets them struggle with that. Why doesn't Joseph just come up and say, that's not my son? And he knew whose son it was. Joseph knew. God told him. Now, was it because tradition was so strong that if Mary wasn't a virgin, and, you know, it just would have thrown the Jews into such a conundrum that they couldn't have handled it? maybe. But on Father's Day, it's kind of interesting that, you know, and we've often wondered, and I don't have the answers. It's just, it's very interesting, and some of this could have been cleared up, yet God chose not to do that. He left that confusion for man to deal with it. The other thing, and this is just because of the way my brain works, Keith said something this morning. He said, you know, in the beginning was God. And I go, well, that's not quite right to me. God was before the beginning. We say in the beginning it was a word. Natural-minded Corky would go, well, who wrote it then? Well, God wrote the word. Well, he did it before the beginning because the word says in the beginning was the word. So I'm going to make a point here, which is we say in the beginning because it's the only way we in our natural mind can understand what's being said. So in the beginning was not God. God was before the beginning. God was before the beginning and God will be there after the end. In the beginning creates a time. And as we've shared before, as soon as we say time and God, it all kind of goes off to left field because we can't wrap that back up and make it sense. So for me, God was before the beginning. Even though, and I understand the scriptures say, in the beginning was a word, I'm just going, well, who wrote it then? Was it just there all the time? And if you do that, then you go down that other path that we all don't want to go down to. It's like, it was just always there. No. God was always there. And then we start where humanity comes in. Anyways, those are my two things. I just want to say, God is good. Charlie's got stuff to say, my God is good. But in my life, God is good. You know, we all have our trials. Some we expect, and some just come out of nowhere, and some get handled pretty quickly, and you can just say, yep, okay, and you can kind of just tease them through, and then other ones just kind of just sit there and fester, and they just go like, you know. And you know, I was kind of faced with a choice this week, and finally, it's cliché-ic, but, you know, I just have this problem, and I have to give it up to God, because in the natural, in my current state, I can't fix this. I can't reconcile this. I can't get past it, and I know that if I don't take me out of the way what God wants to do with me, then I just increase the chances for the enemy to help me miss the mark. As Charlie said, don't want to miss that boat. I always thought it was a bus, but, you know, that's why I come to Sunday mornings to hear whether it's a boat or a bus. But all kidding aside, we have to be willing to recognize our shortcomings and to truly fall on our face before God and go, I can't do this. Where I am right now, I can't do this. I know all things are possible, but today, this is the only thing I can do. And then have the faith that He will fix that. Take care of that. Resolve that. Make me to where it's not a problem. And that's actually a pretty good place to know that He can take care of it. And this kind of gets back to the rest. You know, I so much within me want to be able to do everything. It's kind of the way I was brought up. My expectations were placed on me. Those of us who have served know that we're supposed to, you know, execute. When you're on a team, you're to execute. I tell my employees, I don't pay them for effort, I pay them for execution. We worked really hard, but we didn't get it done. That doesn't help anybody. And yet, that's exactly where I've been, where I'm not getting this done. And I have to go, you know, call in the big reliever and say, I need you to move forward. And I just praise God that He's made that way. And as soon as I do that, I stop taking the burden on myself and I put it where it can get resolved. And if we know anything, we know the longer we diligently seek to have His heart, we know that things will get to where they need to be. We just have to keep on keeping on. Anyways, happy Father's Day.
And the title of the message that I plan on bringing tonight is I'm calling it the Father's Day. And you can guess most of the contents of it. But we are coming to a realization that's a major one. Now, Jesus said, eternal life is to know the only true God. Have you picked up those words? The only true God. That's what it says in King James. Then the word and. And, you know, the word and makes the second part just about as vital as the first part. And Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. So we got a dual thing that we need to know. Well, one of the major things that Jesus was a revelation or the declaration of the Father. And when I saw in John 4:24 that God is spirit, and when I saw it, when I began to see it, I'm not saying I see it yet. I'm just saying I began to see that He was spirit. It changed my relationship with God. And it has been increasing, it has been growing, it has been changing, and it is becoming something. I said that to say this, that it tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it says that, and then comes the end, when the Son will have put down all rule and all, you know, all of the things that, you know, and it says, and then the Son will turn the kingdom back over to the Father so that God may be all in all. You know what? We don't recognize that. We don't really understand what that's saying. But God is all in all. God is the end of the thing. And when that was a major point that Ken made in there. And he says, and God teaches through the Holy Spirit. You know what? That's the way that it is. The Bible tells us that God has spoken to us through His Son. God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. You know who did the speaking? But let me give you another little thing that I'm beginning to understand. God probably won't put what He wants you to say word for word inside of you. That's not what's going to happen. I'm not so sure that that's what happened with Jesus. I think He became so full of the thoughts and the ideals and the purposes and the plans and the things of His Father that He could. What He spoke did not have to be word for word. I know it says that God said He was going to put His words in His mouth, but it doesn't have to be word for word. If He and the Father were one, after a while He knew what the Father would say. That's why some of these things, I looked at them and I thought, did God say that through His Son? I mean, is that the way it was? And I thought, you know, it doesn't have to be. And it doesn't have to be that way through us. If we get to know the heart and the thoughts and the intents of God and we speak, that's what I was talking to Tim the other day about. He was telling me some things that he said, and I thought, And she was, the girl that was talking was dumbfounded. She was flabbergasted. And at the wisdom and some things he was saying, I said, no, we're kind of misunderstanding what's going on inside of us. We are being changed. And so, remember what Jesus said? He says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. But he also said, the Father and I are one. And he said in another place, if you would have known me, you would have known the Father also. So he's letting us know. And he says then in verse 10, in John 14, and he says, it's the Father that's in me that's doing the works. It's the Father that's in me that is doing these things. So all of these miracles and signs and the wonders and things that Jesus did, who did them? That's what he was letting us know. I didn't do this. It's the Father that's in me doing these things. God is wants to be all in all. God is all in all. God is teaching us through the Spirit. And he has provided the Holy Spirit to teach us the things, his things, because the Holy Spirit is the only one that understands. It says no man understands these things. Do you follow me? So God teaches us by the Spirit. And but the thing is, that is a faith endeavor that is, that's one that I'd say that's close to the top of the list. And you know, I'm off on something else here, but I saw Gene get up and read, and I looked at the Bible size, and because of the Bible size, I could imagine what the print size was. And here she is, and you know, and you need a magnifying glass to look through another magnifying glass to see it, you know what I mean? And I thought, you know, God has touched her eye. She has difficulty with her eyes. And every so often, this crazy imbalance that I got, it disappears. And I can walk fine. And I had all of these dreams of all of these things that are going to take place. They don't. And it's like another year has gone, I'm going to be 80 years old. I still haven't seen it. And then there's a part of me that says, even if you don't, big deal. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's like I am seeing everything I need to see. Even with my funny, you know, imbalance that I have. And I saw Jean get up and read out of an eye that I didn't think she's going to be able to some time ago. I have seen these things. And you know what? Corky has seen things, especially in his business, that are phenomenal, unbelievable. And every single one of us is seeing these things. I saw this thing, you know, with my boat trailer. It's like Rodney told me, he says, we just watched a miracle. I'm not sure what we watched. It was just one of those strange things. And I've seen other things. And it's like I'm thinking, something else happened the other day, just phenomenal. Little things. And so while I'm waiting for these big things to happen, and they're not, and for my balance to return and it's not, my imbalance is probably one of the best things that keeps me submissive to the Lord of anything that I got. I don't like it. But you know what? I don't think Paul probably cared for his thorn in the flesh either. Especially due to the fact he said he asked the Lord three different times to get rid of it. And I thought, that's all, three times? You know what I mean? Is that a faith walk? He asked God and he didn't take it. He asked him again, he didn't take it. He asked him again. And so finally God spoke to him and says, Paul, he says, well, didn't he? Didn't he speak to him?
Yeah.
Or did Paul reason that? He spoke to him. He said, "Your my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Otherwise, you'd be exalted above measure. And is there a possibility that any of us could do that? Yeah, come on now.
Boy, this is, I've been sitting there just trying not to come unraveled, and this is by faith, but all of a sudden, there's been a term that's been bothering me for quite a while, and it's the Son of Man, because it's put in the craziest places, and bear with me, and have faith, but I think God just started unraveling it this morning. Because I went down from the part where I brought about Jesus equal with his Father and stuff. And see, in the Bible, and maybe they're correct this time somewhat, there are certain places where they capitalize Son and Man when it says Son of Man. And so here it says, down in 26, and Keith he's quoted this verse many times. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted. See, that's key words. Granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment. Also, now listen to this. Also, because he is the Son of Man? Well, you know what I just feel like got shown this morning? I'm a Son of Man.
Yeah.
I am. I'm a Son of a Man. But you know what? I am also a Son of Man. You know what the difference, I think, is? Spiritual Son of Man. Because now, I think, if this gets opened up to you and me more, this is what even more so strengthens the humanity. Because when God said to different prophets, he called them, Son of Man, speak. But you're not speaking as a Son of Man, you're speaking as Spirit is being spoken, Son of Man. And in here, later in some other chapters, it says, and Jesus says that the Son of Man might be glorified. Now, if he's full of God, he is spiritual, correct? He's a spiritual Son of Man. It says, and the Son of Man ascended from above. Wait a minute. How can there be a man in heaven? See, I think God says, I have sons of men, and then I have sons of man. I have flesh man, spirit man. Now, this might take days to sink in if it's what I think the Spirit is trying to say, you know, and I don't know why he's given no, you know, why does he use us? He just does. But anyway, because different ones have brought such different insights, revelations from the Word. And it says the Son of Man will ascend, and it says in the end the Son of Man is coming back. See, if he is truly humanity, this all fits. Because it's spiritual. It says your mind is being changed, you know, when you're born again. If you continue, you are to develop a spiritual mind. And being a man with a spiritual mind, that makes you different than the common man, the Son of Man that's from men. But when you become a spiritual man from God, the Father, it's a whole different context. Is this making any kind of, is it kind of registering at all? I mean, because if you, from now on, when you read through the scriptures, you look at where that's used. Because some of it makes absolute, how can the Son of Man ascend from, and he's saying it as he's on the earth. The Son of Man ascended. There's a Son of Man in heaven who came down. Well, yeah, that position of a spiritual man came from heaven and was granted to him. But it's going to be it's granted to you also, I believe. I believe that's what it's showing. That you're not the, you're not a common man once you're born again. You're a spiritual man. You're a spiritual son of man. You know? And he, why does God keep that position in Revelation and everywhere else? Because it showed that God did a work with man. And he had a perfect one who became the head of all the other spiritual ones. You know? And I don't have it all, but it just, this morning, it just, all of a sudden, because I've been seeing that, and I thought there's another meaning that I'm not getting why the Son of Man is, context is there. But it's like God, because he's always, he made his creation, and he loves them. And he wanted to show that he can take this creature that he made to be, you know, just imperfect. Thinks on its own. Gets grandiose ideas, even though it was created, you know. But I'm going to show you what I can do with that. I can do the impossible. I can take that thing that's completely on its own, thinks it's its own destination, it can create whatever, and I'm going to make it a spiritual man that's eternal, that can speak my words of truth. You know, here's an interesting thing. I've come to the place. Do you know that anybody before the flood never saw a rainbow? Do you believe that? I believe it now. I believe my God had a way. And now they might go, oh no. And I'll tell what I would say to those. You prove to me that there was a rainbow before the flood. Because God said there wasn't, because he made it as a sign that he would never flood the earth again. How can he? Because he's God. Why didn't the sun show through the rain before the flood? Well, he didn't allow it to. And there might not have, because there was a mist. Well, I don't know. Yeah, in the beginning it was just a mist, but, you know. So anyway, see, I love that. That I can look there and say, God made that rainbow at a certain time. And I don't care what other. And you know, it's kind of funny how I believe that the gay community uses the rainbow as one of their symbols of some sort. Which makes sense in a way. That's the devil. You know, I mean, yeah, he would bring anything to bring, you know, take away from what God is, you know. So anyway, I'm really excited about this. I think this is a real insight, more so into getting to know who Jesus Christ is and who we are in him. You know? And yeah, I guess I'm kind of with Corky too. Yeah. The beginning is only a word for us. God always was, you know. And so when we relate it in words like it says in some of that in Revelations, the one who is, who was, who is, and who is to come, you know, or whatever, that's just a kind of a way for us to try to relate that he's always been there, you know. So anyway, I hope that maybe in weeks to come, somebody's going to come up and go, hey, this is what I saw with the Son of Man, you know, and give light to it. So let your spiritual whatever be on full power, you know. And for some reason, I don't know why, but when I look back at you, Charlotte, your countenance is different. I don't know. You don't. I mean, maybe you are in torment, but it's not showing on your face. Yeah.
Why don't we come up to the front? And I'd like to say thank God, bless you. I just really appreciate everybody. You really helped me today. Some of my problem was I had a hard time walking, but some of it was also attack. And you know,